Okay, I think we were on mute, but now we are good to go. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, we do apologize here at Simple Faith Baptist Church for our sound. Technical difficulties, the mute button. But let's go ahead and just follow on what we have planned, okay? So real quick again, Simple Faith Baptist Church, if you're new to the online website, I'm going to simply go over to a couple tabs at the top just so you can get familiar with our page, okay? Current future events right here, you can see on our calendar tab. The calendar tab just tells you what's going on here at Simple Faith Baptist. What you may have missed or have also took part with us, and future events, okay? So one of the most important things I want you to pay attention to, besides prayer, because that's the most important, is our schedule so you can come fellowship with us. So that schedule is right here on the right-hand side of the screen. So every Sunday we have Sunday school at 1, and we're just going through a book called A Sure Foundation, a work by Brother James Knox. Awesome study. And he's just going through the scripture, pointing out key scriptures so we can get to know our God a lot better. And then we can also defend our doctrine. It's a real good tool. And we went over this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, in our Sunday school, about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in the life of the believer. It's an awesome study. So every Sunday at 1, we're doing that. We take a 15-minute break, and we have our Sunday service at 1:45. And we're going through the Word of God, rightly dividing it, and Brother Carlos is leading in that, amen. And we also have Wednesdays, so every Wednesday we have that midweek service from 7 to about 8:30. We also have one week out of that month of each month where we have a prayer and worship service as well, so please join us for that. Every Saturday, we try to make it to go out soul winning. We had an awesome time yesterday. I will show you here on our Get Connected tab here. We call it right here Soul Winning Saturdays, amen. And we had an awesome time. We've been utilizing our signs, if you can see them in the background. We utilized these signs last night. They were very effective because some of the drivers can't hear. Obviously, they're driving or they have their tunes on in their vehicles, but they did see the Word of God as we preached it. So we had the visual and the audio. It was a blessing. Myself, Carlos, Emmanuel, and Sister Katie, we were all out there, and we were preaching as well, street preaching. So whenever we got, like, groups of crowds coming through, we would preach the Word of God. And our hope is that that Word would be sown on some good ground, amen. So that's every Saturday we do that. Please join us for that, because that's what Jesus Christ commands us to do, to go out and preach the gospel to the world, amen. All right, so moving right along, that's it for our schedule. Let's go ahead and go into this prayer tab here. So the prayer tab here is for two reasons, okay? One, if you need somebody to pray for, we try to keep this up to date. But if you submit that prayer request, we'll just approve it, and it'll show up here on the screen here for people to keep you in prayer. So please utilize this. This is for you. And if you have some type of praise report, maybe God has answered some prayer in your life, which is a blessing, you can also put that up there to keep others encouraged, amen. And the last couple tabs I'm going to go over is the live stream links, Bible study tools, and online giving. So with the live stream, we're currently on YouTube, Periscope. We also have a podcast for those who may be on the road or on a long trip. Don't want to be looking down at your phone trying to watch a video. We're also on podcast as well. This podcast works well with Android and iPhone, okay? So please tune in there. Bible study tools. We have a lot of awesome brothers who've been preaching and teaching for way longer than we have. And we've met a lot of these brothers. We listen to a lot of these brothers. We're testing them out, and they're solid. So please utilize this. I'm growing from it. And the hope is that you will tune in and grow from it too. Attain to that wise counsel as God has said to us, right? And this is a top for you. There's two pages just to be aware so you don't miss out on any of the brethren. Last thing, online giving. Please, we would love for you to join us here. And you can just use a small box, whatever your purpose in your heart is unto the Lord. But if you can't make it, unfortunately, and if you want to help support the ministry as we serve our Lord, we're currently using the PayPal, which is built into the page. So you just follow the instructions here and proceed to payment. And you can help us here in our ministry. But it's between you and the Lord, whatever you purpose in your heart as unto the Lord. Amen. So with that being said, I welcome up my brother Carlos, and get ready for the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Let's go and give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Quamain. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. All right, now, everybody, welcome on back to Simple Faith Baptist Church. We are glad to see everybody here today, and I hope your guys' weekend has been going well. We're going to get right into it. We're going to go ahead and get right into it. A little chilly, a little rain dazzle, but that's okay. It doesn't give us an excuse not to come to church. Amen. You know who you are out there. You know those brothers and sisters. Oh, it's raining today. I don't want to go to church. Come on, guys. If Jesus traveled in the wintertime in Jerusalem before Uggs came out, okay, it rained and it snowed over there. So I'm just letting you know. I want to be like Jesus. Go to church when it's raining and when it's snowing outside. Amen. Come on. All right. That was just a little free nugget there. All right, friends, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and get into it. Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter number 8. We have a lot to study today because this verse is one of the most misquoted, misapplicated verses throughout evangelical Christian churches. And I say evangelical Christian churches with a quote-unquote because we don't even know what type of churches nowadays churches are. We don't even know what's going on in churches. We don't know what they believe in, etc., etc. But my hope and prayer today is that through the study of God's Word, you will be convinced today of how to properly interpret Scripture with Scripture. For those of you guys who know, we rightly divide the Word of God using dispensational theology, which just simply means we want to rightly divide to whom the Scripture is addressed to. And we want to see if there are any things that are for application, commandments, promise-keeping, etc., within their context. And so today, this is one of the most famous verses quoted by believers who are being faithful, and by believers who are being carnal. This verse right here is one of the most misused verses that make me so disappointed when I hear this verse come out of the mouth of somebody I know is living a reprobate life, somebody living a carnal life, because they'll say, well, brother, we know that all things work together for good. You know, God works in mysterious ways. Oh, man, I'm ready to let that Bible smack them up outside the head. I'm ready to let this Bible stab them in their heart a little bit, a little shasha, because that's what that Bible does. I'm ready to see this Bible correct some people today online and in-house, so that way you can leave this church wise. And I will prove to you today from God's Word, the Holy Bible, how you can grow wiser if you do what it tells you to do today. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all those that came to church today. We pray for them that are watching online, and we pray for those that weren't able to make it, Lord. Help our little church to continue to remain faithful to your words, Lord God. Help us to continue to cling to your words and not our feelings or not what we think or not what we felt in our experience at one point in time. Help us, Lord God, to put our trust in this holy word. We pray today that we can grow spiritually from the doctrine we'll learn today. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Holy Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Look at what the Bible states very clearly. And we, the scripture is very clear throughout Romans. When you guys read Paul writing, the we here is addressing believers. We, as born again sinners that are now called Christians, we know, or at least we should. If you don't, shame on you. You better know. You better start learning in this what the Bible teaches. We know that all things work together for good. That's what it states. It does not state the definition of the good. It doesn't say your finances. It doesn't say your marriage. It doesn't say your politics, your church culture, and your government structure. It doesn't say all that you want, your car. It just says that we know that all things work together for good. But now let's continue. Because there is a condition. You say, brother, I thought we're under grace, not under law. Yes, but you need to rightly divide. Look it. It says to them, again, believers, that love God. it will work together for good to them that love God. Whenever I study the Holy Bible, I have a little theory. It's not, you're not going to see this in the scriptures, so just, you know, chew the meats without the bones. But that there's possible that there is an inverse application. Anybody know what an inverse of a number is, or an inverse fractions? It's just flip it upside down. There's generally an inverse application, and here's what that'll look like in today's example. We know that all things don't work together for good to them that don't love God. You see what I'm saying here? To them who are the called according to his purpose. So then again, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. Because according to the book of Revelation, you can read that later on, it tells us for those that are in Christ that we are called, or we are chosen, or we are faithful. That's all that means. We're not talking about predestination. We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. We'll address the Bible and how it corrects isms of men. But all that means is that when you become a born-again Christian and you become a part of Christ, the Holy Spirit will take your soul. We learned this Sunday school. He'll place you into the body of Christ. You are then, according to God, a part of this group called called. And you are called according to his purpose. And if you want to learn the definition of his purpose, you can read on your own time in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And it'll help to explain to you a little bit more about the Father's plan and purpose. So now I'd like to reread this verse like our modern Christianese brethren read it. I'm going to reread this verse like a carnal Christian looks at it today. Here I am. I'm Brother A. I live with my girlfriend. We're not married, but we go to that mega church and we give a little bit and we don't really read our Bibles. But we know that all things work together. That's all I'm going to say. We know that all things work together for good to them, you know, who the Lord knows. You know, he knows who he's working it out for. The other reading is this. God works in mysterious ways, brother, and we know it's going to work out for the good. While I'm doing drugs, while I'm committing adultery, while I'm getting drunk, while I'm doing all these things, well, it's still going to work together for good. That's what the Bible says. Foolish. People that have that understanding are foolish Christians. And if you don't have enough guts to tell them to call Brother Carlos. Yeah, oh, brother, foolish. That's, I'll tell them straight up over the phone, okay? This verse is one of the most misquoted verses in evangelical Christianity today. And you ask, well, why, Brother Carlos? Why do you say that? Because, brethren, forget the context of the chapter. You see, when you study God's Word, you got to remember who it's being addressed to. What is the context of the book you're reading? Who is being addressed to what people group? The Jew, the Gentile, or the Christian, the Church of God? That's 1 Corinthians 10:31. And then once you find out what the overall theme is of the book, then what is the context of the chapter from verses 1 through the end of that chapter? And then ask yourself, what is the context of the verse individually, aside from the book, aside from the whole chapter? You say, brother, that sounds like a lot of study. I know. It's called a command. You got to do it. So that way you're not tossed to and fro and somebody doesn't mislead you of an understanding that's not biblical. That's why I say that a lot of people misuse this text rather than allowing it to speak for itself. Let's go back earlier in verse 1 in Romans chapter 8. Hope you have a Bible. Hope you're following along today. Because again, we're trying to say what is the context of the chapter so you can be convinced that this is just not what we teach at our church or our statement of faith. This is Bible. Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Notice, to them which are in Christ. The text here is not applying it to an unbeliever, not the religious Catholic, the religious Baptist, the religious Protestant, or any isms of religions that they can escape by the condemnation from God because of their trying to work for God's favor or earn it through their works. It's impossible. The Bible is clearly addressing them that are in Christ. That is, they are born again. They are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So here you have a saved person, and the first part of that truth is that they are no longer under God's wrath and condemnation against their sin because they put their faith and trust in Jesus. They're saved. We understand that. But here's a second truth to that. Now you're saved. You're free from the law of sin and death. You now can choose to say no to sin, and you can obey God's word from the heart. But when you don't obey God's word from the heart, and you keep watching pornography, getting drunk, doing all that God says don't do, you know what that Bible says? You're going to reap condemnation. Now, people say, it's my stress, it's my depression. Oh, why do I feel like I'm going through this and that? You know why? It's because you are not walking after the Spirit. It's because you are walking after the flesh. I'm going to quickly read you what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8 and 9. And I'm addressing those who think that they're saved because they go to church, who think that they're saved because they have a little membership, or think that they're saved, like the young Marine fellow told me yesterday, I've been baptized, man. Am I not good with God? Well, let me just share with you what God says about your baptism, about your membership, about you giving all the money you can, willfully or unwillfully, to the Jehovah's Witness Church or Mormon Church or God knows what church. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Look at how the Bible says that it is the gift of God. That is the salvation by grace. That salvation by the grace of God, according to God, is a gift. And verse 9 tells you that it is not of your works, lest any man should boast. In case, just by chance, if it were so that you could be justified by works, you know what God says? You have an area to boast in. But before the God of this Bible, not the God of Mormonism or Seventh-day Adventism or anything else, you don't have no area to boast in the presence of God. You cannot earn it. Now, do you hear what God says there? He said, and any man who believes they are justified, they are saved by their works, they would be boasters. But may God have mercy on them. I did an apologetics part 5 recently, and a part of the Roman, the Mormonism, their founders, they misquote scripture in the book of Nephi. I forgot the chapter verse. If you have a chance, you can watch it online. But it says that we are saved by grace or faith, comma, after all we can do. And that's what a young Mormon told me out there in the street. I said, man, where are you at part 1 of that 10 of whatever the all is? Who defines that for you? You see, they are tossed to and fro. But I just want you to see here that, friends, we don't have no room to boast, and our salvation is simply by faith, by the grace of God, in trusting Jesus. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Notice here, those who believe, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Go down here to verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So listen, God told us a long time ago, before you called your best friend, your best girl, or your best man, whoever you want to call, before you look up those false pastors online and teachers and pastoresses and Dr. Phil and all this, whoever you want to talk to, and they tell you, you know, everything is going to be all right. You know, just listen to your heart, follow your conscience, listen to Jiminy the Cricket, and everything is going to be okay. You know what God says, present tense? If you walk after that flesh, you're going to reap condemnation. But if you walk after the Spirit, you're going to reap something called life and peace. Look at verse 6 in Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, present tense. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, present tense. So for the they of verse 5, go back to 8:1, the believer. Believers are capable of sinning. You say, what? I make mistakes? Have you noticed lately? How about you? It couldn't be. Well, God says it's very clear. Notice verse 6, the contrast between those who mind the things of the Spirit and the flesh. The present tense result of the life of the carnal believer, somebody that is after the flesh, God says death. But the result of the brother or sister who is spiritually yearning and yielding to the Holy Ghost and obeying that word, something positive, something called life. Here's what I like. It doesn't sound so positive, does it? Sorry to burst your bubble of, well, I thought, or, well, I heard, but I think, I feel, I know. Isn't God's word so sweet? It's a living word. It's a double-edged sword. Do me a favor, turn your Bibles to two places with me. You may need to use a bookmark or you can use a flyer. 2 Timothy 3:16 and Hebrews chapter number 4. 2 Timothy 3:16 and Hebrews chapter number 4. The Word of God states here in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know what it means to reprove somebody, church? To reprove somebody is to blame them to the face. That is to direct a person and an expression of which you are calling them out. You know what that Holy Bible tells you? This Bible is good for you to learn doctrine, but this Bible is also good to check you to your face of what you're doing is wrong. Or to correct your theology. Maybe it's misplaced. Maybe you thought a thing about God, but now you just got corrected by God's word of the thing. Ultimately, what is the purpose or the goal? It's to instruct you in righteousness. You know what righteousness is, church? It's right living. It's to live in a manner that is acceptable in the sight of God. You see, Christian, for those who are online and in-house, the goal of our church, Simple Faith Baptist, and all Bible-based churches is to teach and preach the Bible so that you would grow in righteousness, that is, right living. I hope all of us came here for the right reason. I hope you came to hear the Word of God preached and taught so that we can all learn true doctrine, conviction, correction, so our hearts will be renewed and our minds challenged. Look at what Hebrews 4, verse number 12, states in regards to this Holy Bible and one of the more acts or ministries of it as it's being ministered to you in your prayer life or the hearing of it through the radio program, etc. The Word of God says in Hebrews 4:12, that it's quick, that is, it's alive, and it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Now watch this last part. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to keep coming to church. You're going to keep hearing Bible, and you're going to hear Bible and learn truths and doctrines. And over time, that Bible is going to begin to convict you about something you're doing with how you communicate to people. Maybe about how you dress. Maybe about what you watch. You know what God's Word is doing? It is reproving you. It is correcting you because it is a living Word. It's alive. God says it's powerful. And you know what else it's going to do? It's going to read your heart. You come to church, you've got to tell nobody today how you feel or what you did. You know them secret sins I'm talking about. You know what God said? He's going to bring that up to your conviction. He's going to bring that up to your conscience, and you have two choices. One, you're going to yield to the Spirit of God and say, man, Lord, forgive me. That Bible's right. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Or two, you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to keep minding the things of the flesh. As you mind the things of the flesh, Romans told us that the result is death, or that's what we're meditating on. We're meditating on things that are filled with death. But I will show you from God's word that if you don't yield to that thing and you give in to God's wisdom, you're going to mine peace and life. I'll show you. Do me a favor now. Let's go and quickly turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. Hope you have your Bible. Hope you're following along, because the only thing that's going to help you today is this word. Amen. It doesn't matter how we look or dress, teach or thing. I'm just telling you, I want you to trust the word of God. That's what's going to help you. Proverbs chapter 4, where better to get wisdom than the book of wisdom here in Proverbs 4. The overall theme of it has a lot to do to instruct a man on wisdom. Proverbs 4 verse number 1, the Bible says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Are you ready now? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The principal thing here at our church is wisdom. Please, Christians, incline your ears to the word of God today. Go back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. Look what that Bible says in verse number 6. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The believer who is spiritually minded is said to receive life and peace, contrasted with the believer who is minding the things of the flesh, death. Death. Proverbs chapter 8. Go back now. You see, I'm working out your hands, huh? Brother Carlos, come on. Why you got to work my fingers out? You know, I... Well, some of you guys have a phone. It's a little easier, right? On the eyes or the thumbs there. Come on now. Let's work them fingers out, friends. We're here to work out this flesh to learn how to study this word of God. Proverbs 8, verse number 5. Proverbs 8, 5. The Bible says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. Are you ready? Ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. What do we learn from 2 Timothy 3:16? There is nothing froward or perverse in them. And are you ready now? You hearing, church? You listening? They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You know who's going to argue with the Bible? It's going to be the person who lacks a desire to get wisdom. It's going to be the Christian that once in a while goes to church because they will go to work more than they go to church. It's going to be the Christian that doesn't read their Bible, so that every time they're convicted by the brother or sister that's living it out, that Bible says that it's plain to them that understand and right to them that find knowledge. If you're sincerely seeking to learn more of God's word, this will be right to you. You will agree with what it says. You'll say, wow, brother, praise God, that's what it says. I'm in agreement because my heart is seeking that wisdom and the Holy Spirit is helping me to understand. So don't get shy when they argue with you on the streets. Don't be discouraged when they try to argue with you in the workplace or your family tells you, oh, this and that and this about drinking and all this. You know why? It's because, like God just told them earlier, ye fools. They're foolish. Go down to verse number 32 in Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 32. You say, brother, what does all this have to do with God working at all good things for my life? I'll tell you. I'm trying to help you to first get what? Wisdom and understanding, and then you can properly understand the thing. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Are you ready now? For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he, are you ready now? He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. So Bible with Bible. Proverbs 8, all the way for that New Testament believer in Romans chapter 8. You're saved. You heard about Jesus. Praise God. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. My charismatic brethren, a little tongue speaking here and there, and they get baptized and all that. Okay, cool. But you stop reading your Bible. You stop going to church. You date that girl you know you shouldn't, or you date that boy you know you shouldn't. You start watching that thing you know you shouldn't. You start hating wisdom. You become foolish in your mind of understanding. And you know what God said? You're not doing the church wrong, although we could feel it. You're not going to hinder the Lord's operation through the giving of the offerings, etc. You know what God says? You're wronging your own soul. You're messing your own life up. He clearly states that if you disobey his word, you reject his wisdom, you reject the Holy Ghost trying to teach you through the preachers, you know what that Bible says? You hate him and you love death, because he is the author of life. And as by default, we have sin, and we know the other God that we used to serve and believe in, Satan, he's waiting in the background, ready to teach you, ready to continue to keep you on with this world and this and everything it has to offer. But God says, if you reject my word, you reject my counsel, you're wronging your own soul, and ultimately you love death more than you love life. So now when you consider understanding and wisdom, and me now approaching New Testament doctrine, Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. Not necessarily. If you are rejecting God's word and you are living a rebellious, reprobate life, you will die in your sin. You go to heaven, but you wasted all that life serving the lust of your flesh because you wanted drugs more, fornication more, you wanted XYZ. The Lord said you wronged your own soul. So let's keep listening. I don't want to be a fool. All throughout his word, let's go back to Romans 8. All throughout his word, it's very clear of how he deals with the soul based upon their heart's response to his word. Keep going in Romans chapter 8. Go down to verse number 7. Because the carnal mind, watch this now, Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see that? What is enmity? Enmity is the quality of being an enemy. Opposite of friendship. You know what the Holy Ghost told us through Colossians and Ephesians? Before you were a Christian, we were enemies of God by wicked works and the lust of our heart. You know what the Holy Ghost told us, a Christian who disobeys him, who wants to do their own thing because of their feelings? You are an enemy of God. When you live in opposition to this word of God, God says, you are against me. You love death more than you love life because you are rejecting my counsel. And you know what verse 8 says? There's no way you can please God. So now keep that in mind. All things work together. All things work together. Not so. According to God, he's going to take you out because you're being foolish. Keep going down in Romans chapter 8. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, there it is. Hopefully you're saved. The spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you're not a born-again Christian, you are not saved. You are currently on your way to hell, to a lake of fire. Please trust Christ. If Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, you see, who is he addressing? What do we learn? Christians, okay? So I'm trying to teach you now. We are debtors. We owe not to the flesh to live after the flesh because we could. For if you live after the flesh, say it with me now, church, ye shall die. But brother, I thought all things work together for the good to them that love God. What did God say? Reject wisdom. You reject my counsel. You reject my understanding. You hate me. You love death. You're going to die. Not all things are going to work together for the good for them that don't love God. And I will prove to you from the Bible before today, to love God is to obey God. I'll prove that to you. One more time, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in my yielding to the Holy Ghost, I'm putting this Bible into practice. I'm doing what it's telling me to do. I'm loving God. And as he already laid out the condition there, God promises me that he's going to work whatever his purpose is. Now remember, it's his purpose. It's not mine. Don't get it twisted. Oh, the workplace. Oh, I'm praying for the car. I'm praying over my finances. And like our brother and earlier, Brother Kwame and I, we bind you, Satan. We cast you out of our finances. Foolish. Bible said his purpose. That's what's going to work out for the good. Amen. Now let's go back and study the Old Testament. Because if you read there in Romans 15, verse number 4, that whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. Who wants to learn more about God's word? Anybody raise your hand? Anybody out there? Hope you do. Hope you want to learn more about God. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. We're going to just see if we can learn principles of how God deals with people when he gives them his word and says, if you do this, I will do this. We know that there are certain promises that are unconditional, which just simply means that regardless of what you do, God will still do his thing. We know that God gave Abraham an unconditional promise to inherit a land. We know that God offers eternal life unconditionally to them that trust him. We're going to receive it. We're going to have it. And I'm going to always have it, regardless if I'm faithful or not. The Lord will judge me, but my soul is secure. But then there are conditions to his promises that are the temporary, we can say, gifts or benefits of while you're still in this body of flesh on the earth. I'll show you from the Old and the New Testament. So we know that God chose a man by the name of Abram. We know the story that he gave his promise to his descendants and offspring that they should inherit a part of the earth. But later to that promise, he added something called the law or laws. The book of Galatians tells the Christians why that law was added, because of transgressions. And so this law was to govern the Jews while they lived and dwelt in the land that was promised to them, to govern them physically while they lived. Verse number 1, Deuteronomy 7, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee in regards to the Jew into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, no sure mercy unto them. One nugget of how to rightly divide the Bible. Again, this is talking to the Jew thousands of years ago as they were leaving Egypt to go into the promised land. Christians say, oh, all the Bible's for me. Praise God. Oh, the Lord's telling me to go over there right now. Let's go kill some fools for Jesus, because the Bible says, let's not show mercy. Again, when I was a babe in Christ, because I didn't know how to rightly divide this book, I literally was like, man, God is telling me it's okay. I can go to Mexico right now and I can start tearing down shrines in my neighborhoods. No, I would have been taken to jail quickly for that, man. I'm telling you. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. So the Jew was not to intermingle with the Gentiles. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. You see how God always desired a relationship with people from the heart. He warns even the Jews, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. They will turn your heart from following me, and as a result, I'm going to be mad. Doesn't that sound familiar with what we're learning in the New Testament? But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. I literally thought, guys, one time, I was like, man, I'm going to go to my neighborhood and start tearing down shrines because it's in the Bible. But I'm telling you, friends, you got to rightly divide that thing. All right, for the Jews, here it is. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord had not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Again, historically speaking, according to God, the Jews were of the least. They were not the nations that were mightier, like the Hittites and etc., etc. But watch this, verse number 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You see there, that's the unconditional promise. God, because he gave you an oath, he's going to do it. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, verse 9, he is God, the faithful God. Now watch this last part. Which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. And keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That's a long, that's a forever. And that's essentially, that's what it means. So now we see from the old to the new, God says, I did this. I promised your fathers. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to keep this thing with them that love me, them that obey me, them that keep my commandments. Do me a favor. Turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now we're going to see a conditional difference between the Jews and the Christian. Because unlike the Jews, God is not going to suddenly destroy you and allow the Russians or the Koreans or the Mexicans to come into America and start, you know, tearing your house down, because that's what God did to the Jews. He would allow these Gentile nations to start coming in there, destroy them. He'd allow disease. He's not going to deal with you like that, but he will deal with you according to Romans 8. Deuteronomy 11, go down to verse 13. The Holy Bible says here, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land. Do you see that? If you do this, O house of Israel, then I will. Do you see that? Rain in your land, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, etc., etc. You're going to see that throughout this chapter. Go down to verse 22. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then, do you see that? You can't get any clearer than that. Will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. I just want to show you there the basis. This is how the Lord is conditionally now putting these laws in response to how he deals with the Hebrews. Turn with me, if you would, your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Just the next book after the book of Deuteronomy, Joshua, the 23rd chapter. And even after the Jews left Egypt and they're on their way to the land of promise, they get it. They destroy certain of these nations like he commanded them to. Look at what Joshua's admonition is. Go down to verse number 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. That you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods. You know, I know brothers like to have Joshua, you know, chapter, what is it? Choose ye this day whom you will serve the Lord. You know, they have that verse, be courageous. What about Joshua 23:7? Do you still make mention of false gods? That's a little nugget. I just want to plug that in there. All right, keep going. Nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. He's a faithful God. Now watch this, verse 11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord. What did he just say? You guys have loved God up until this day. That's what he said. But you know what? You need to take heed that you love him. That you continue to love him. Else, I like that, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, go in unto them, and they to you know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Do you see that? What a warning. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua saying, O Israel, I'm going to die soon. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. He's a faithful God. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from the from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. How about that? That's the law. That's God dealing with his people that he called out, the Jews, to govern them in that land. If they fail to respond to obey that law, and they go whoring after the nations, and they want to marry the Gentiles, and they want to dress like them, they want to listen to their music, they want to do what they do, God said, I'm going to take you out. You know how I promised you blessing? I'll bless it. But you know how I promised you cursing? I'm gonna judge you. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Who said that about Jesus? The writer of Hebrews, correct? It's the same God. Are you ready now? I'm going to show you now New Testament. Do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke, the 11th chapter. A couple of things that the Jews began to forget about God's law and the teaching of his law to his people. And you can read back in your Bibles, and let me give you the scripture references. If you go back to Amos 5:15, Micah 6:8, the Lord Jehovah warned Israel of what they omitted in their teaching. Judgment, mercy, to walk humbly before God. Some of you guys have heard about that. The Lord, the one who spoke, right, continued that teaching to his people of what they were omitting to teach. Go down to Luke 11, verse number 42. Look at what the Lord said here. We can read from verse number 39 just to get some good context there. The Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You see, it's one thing to see somebody outwardly look religious, but the Lord, the Bible says, he knows what's on the inside. You can come to church all day long and still go to hell when you die, because you truly were never saved. You know sincerely in your heart that you were just playing church that whole time. You fools. Jesus calls people fools. Isn't that cool? How about that? It's okay, church. Don't be shy if I call you fool. You can call. You say, Brother Carlos, you fool. I know. Sometimes I am. Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. When answering the Pharisees and lawyers and the Jews of his day, the Lord would rebuke these folks who were outwardly religious, but inwardly, the Bible says, they were ravening wolves. You see, all things work together for the good to them that love God. It's going to first start from the inside. You first got to start loving God from your own heart. You say, Brother, I'm so encouraged. I see how you read the Bible, man. I want to be just like you. I want to follow your example. Good, but don't keep doing that. Because the minute that I hurt your feelings, you're going to complain about me. The minute that I hurt your feelings, you're going to go talk smack about me with your friends, and you're going to cry, and you're going to bitter and bicker. And you took your eyes off the one that you were supposed to be following in the first place. That's Jesus. I'm just trying to tell you, friends, that when you want to love God, it's going to start here from the heart first. And regardless of who and what's going on, you're not going to stop because you know who you are doing it for from the heart. Do me a favor. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter number 5. The Lord knows them that are his. That's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy. And let all them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Let me just share with you about how the Lord recognized of those who had his love in their heart and those who didn't. John chapter 5. Let's read here in verse number John 5, 18 and 19 to get some context. Therefore the Jews, now we see who is in the midst of this conversation. They sought to the more to kill him, that's Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, But he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the Lord answered and said unto them, so now you know who he's talking to. Go with me now to verse number 39. John 5, 39. This is what Jesus said. Search the scriptures. How about that? You know what a good application is? Read your Bible. Why? Jesus told you to do that. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You say, brother, how do I be more like Jesus? It's not looking like me. It's not dressing like me or me being like you or calling ourselves a Baptist or whatever you want to put on that title. It's about looking like Jesus, but how are you going to know anything if you don't read the Word of God? The Bible is the source. I love God. I love Jesus. I'm thankful for what he does, but I don't read a thing. I don't read the Bible. You're a fool. Foolish. You will not come to me that you might have life. People could. The Jews didn't want to. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Mm. All things work together for the good to them that love God. You know what the Lord says? He knows. He knows you if you don't really have the love of God in you in the first place. He knows those that do, and he knows those that don't. You say, Brother Carlos, then how do I measure my own self? Well, what does the Bible say? How about we go there? Don't ask me for my opinion. And if you do, don't get annoyed if I just say, well, what does the Bible say? Because I'm trying to point you to the one who has the answer. You know what the Bible says? Examine your hearts. Examine your own selves, whether you be in the faith. That's what Paul said. Who has the love of God? The Lord knows. And if you want to know, you got to search the scriptures. Now, before we close, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. We see now that, yes, unconditional salvation in Jesus Christ, it's a matter of what? Gift by grace through what? Faith. We know it's not of works, but you know what God said? After you get saved, you keep living foolishly, you keep living like you want to, you will die. I will judge you. And if you want some more proof, I don't have time to get into depth, but you can read Revelation chapter 1 through 3. He is writing to churches, and he tells some of these brethren, if you don't repent and do the works at first, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to come. I'm going to take that candlestick out of its place. I'm going to come like a thief in the night. I'm going to take you out. But Christians don't want to hear that because they don't want to hearken unto counsel. They're fools. They just want to, oh, my feelings and my, you know, our church, our pastor, our worship bands. You know, we all feel good over here. Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. We know that that's not a good thing for them that don't love God because they're minding the things of the flesh. Go down now to verse number 28. The Holy Bible says very clearly, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What I would like to challenge you, Christian, from here until next Sunday is go into that Holy Bible, spend time in study, and look up that word good. Try to study every mention of that word good and look at the context. God is good. You're going to see the goodness of God. You're going to see things likened to God. But God's definition of good is not necessarily going to be your definition of good. You know what God's definition of good was for Saul of Tarsus? You know what the Lord said in Acts chapter 9? He will show him how much things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know what happened to Paul of Tarsus? He was shipwrecked. He was whooped. He was scourged. He was robbed. He even despaired of life. He said, Lord, I don't want to live anymore, but I know it's better for me to be here for the work. That was good. That was God's plan. You see, so don't get too caught up. Don't try to make the material the spiritual equality of what good is for your life. The way that you're going to measure it is, what does that Bible say? If you don't see a specific application to you trying to apply to work at Home Depot or Walmart, that's not in that whole definition. Don't worry. That's just life. Go for it. See what happens. If it doesn't happen, it's because you weren't qualified. They didn't want to hire you, fools. So move on, okay? There's plenty more work out there, dude. McDonald's working. You know, don't equate that with, oh, that wasn't God. Oh, man. It didn't work out for the good. No. Let God's word define good, but just know that it's going to work out for them that love God. And before we close, I'm just going to read verses to you. I'm just going to read verses to you to help you identify between these three things. Number one, love of God. Number two, love God. And then three, God's love. Again, I'm just going to quickly read these verses. I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to quote them. And then you can study back later on in the video post. Love of God, love God, and then God's love. Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 5:8, God's love. 1 Corinthians 2:9, love God. You love God. 1 Corinthians 8:3, you love God. 2 Corinthians 13:11, God's love towards you. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the love of God. Ephesians 2:4-5, God's love. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the love of God. Titus 3:5, the love of God. 1 John 2:5, the love of God. 1 John 3:1, the love of the Father. 1 John 3:16, the love of God. 1 John 3:17, the love of God. 1 John 4:7, the love of God. 1 John 4:9, the love of God. 1 John 4:10 and 20-21, you loving God and loving others. 1 John 5:23, you loving God and keeping his commandments. 2 John 3:1, God's love. And last one we will read. Turn your Bibles with me to the last verse, Jude chapter 1. If you have a chapter 2 in the book of Jude, throw that Bible out, please. And nobody got time for chapter 2 of Jude, okay? Dang on Apocrypha and all that silliness. Dang on, dang it. Jude chapter 1, verse number 20. But ye beloved, saved, brethren, people who are saved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, you know what we need to do? Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what the Holy Ghost described to us in Romans 8? You mind the things of the flesh, death, you reject his counsel. You know what the Holy Ghost tells Christians to do for other Christians? You need to hate the garment spotted by the flesh, man. Pull them out. That's the love of God as you're expressing it to your brother in Christ or sister. But just from Joshua, as we saw principle, all the way to the New Testament, the heed to the Jew and to the Christian, take heed to love your God, right? We read that in Joshua 23. New Testament Christian, I just proved it to you. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Like you have unto this day, you need to keep going. Amen. So yes, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Love God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching, Lord, as we grow in wisdom and understanding, Lord. I don't got a problem with your book today, Lord. I'm going to let that thing correct me, Lord. I want to receive whatever it has for me, Lord. But now I understand a little better what that means, God, to love you. What it means for you to keep covenant and mercy as a faithful God with them that love you unto 1,000 generations. Lord, we're thankful, God, that you are faithful. You're not the problem. Lord, my prayer is that you would have mercy on us, Lord, when we do fall short, when we do backslide in our hearts, Lord, when we do pick up things from this world and conform here and there, Lord, you know our hearts, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have compassion on us, Lord, as the scripture tells us in Jude as an example for us as brethren in the flesh. Lord, I know I can't intercede as a priest because that's not my job, Lord, but all I can ask, Lord, is that you help all my members here today to be faithful to you, Lord. I pray that you help them within their marriages and in their relationships with their children and their family members and their workplaces and most of all here at this church to get involved, to get busy serving Jesus so we could all grow in that love for you. We thank you now, Father, for this time in the name of Jesus. We all say amen. All right, church, the Lord bless you. We look forward to seeing you guys tonight for our Sunday night meeting, Wednesday night Bible study. Thursday, we will be going downtown 6 to 7, Thursday, Sunset Market. Keep us in prayer. Hope to see you there. Scripture sign. That's it. Just 1 hour. Have a good time. All right, the Lord bless you.